But we're going to take the opportunity to engage with God's word in a slightly different way, and we're going to engage with each other in a slightly different way. If you are visiting with us, or if you're just a little bit shy about those sorts of things that get you working in groups, then I want you to feel really welcome just to kind of observe and to participate as much as you feel comfortable. There's no obligation on anyone to be doing something that you're uncomfortable with. But it's really about us digging into God's word a little bit as we head into the new year with the story of Christmas ringing in our ears. So I've got a question. This is an interactive question. I'd love to hear your thoughts. We're thinking about promises and keeping promises. If we were to go away this morning with one really clear, simple idea in our heads, I want us to go away thinking that Jesus is God's promise keeper. Okay, Jesus is God's promise keeper. So I want us to be thinking about promises. Can you just give a moment's thought, stick your hand up. What are some important promises that people make to each other and why they matter? It's particularly helpful for the kids to get their cogs turning, but let's be honest, it's probably useful for us all. Kids, can you think of any important promises that people might make and why it matters that they keep them? And the grown-ups, can you help us out? Does anyone want to just shout out for us? We don't have a roving mic at this point, but just shout out for us. What are some important promises that people make? Marriage vows, that comes up, and it's important that they're kept because the impact when they're not impacts on a lot of people, doesn't it? There's a whole bunch of reasons why that's an important promise to keep. Other promises that people might make? A baptismal vow, yeah, a promise to turn to Christ in repentance and to live as his disciple. Yeah, great promise. Sorry, Jess, you had something else. Yes. Yes. Yeah, the parents promising to their kid, I will be back. I'll come and pick you up. Mummy, daddy always comes back. That is an important promise to keep, but also one that can sometimes be hard to trust, isn't it? Actually, I reflected as a dad. I make lots of promises. It's just that sometimes they're so trivial and flippant and you're throwing around, I'll do this, I'll do that, and then I think, actually, did I come through on that? But promises are important, aren't they? The things that people say that we trust in, that we depend upon. The reason we're thinking along these lines is that we're diving into Matthew's gospel. We started with his first couple of chapters as we came into and then on Christmas Day, and we're continuing with Matthew's gospel right through to Easter. We'll actually only get less than a third of the way through, about a quarter of the way through in that time frame, because Jesus has got so much for us to learn from in those early chapters. But if we're thinking about Matthew's big point of his whole gospel, it is that Jesus is God's promise keeper. Jesus is the one who keeps God's promise to come to his people as their saviour king. And then Matthew's flow-on from that, if that's his big idea, the flow-on from that is, well, what does it look like to live a life that is transformed by knowing that Jesus is God's promise keeper? And James just read for us from the very end of Matthew's gospel, two massive promises that Jesus made to his disciples. I wonder if any of us were able to pick them out as we read through them. First of all, Jesus makes a promise. You could say, it's just a claim, it's a statement, but really, he's giving a promise when he says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. That is Jesus' promise to us. He might have been born as a little baby in the manger. He might have been very fragile, weed and pooed and cried and slept like the rest of us. But actually, Jesus' great promise to us is that all authority in heaven on earth has been given to him. And then there's a second promise at the end, as he was finishing up with his disciples, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And that sums up Matthew's big idea. Jesus is God's promise keeper. He is the one who has come to us with all the authority of God himself, and he is the one who will be with us. Absolutely reliable, totally dependable. That's why it transforms our lives. There's obviously a lot to unpack to understand who Jesus is and what he's done for us. But the point is that trusting Jesus is all about believing Jesus. He's the promise keeper and he's the promise maker. So a really quick side note, particularly for the grown-ups, we often hear people talk about believing in Jesus, having faith in Jesus. That's helpful as far as it goes. I want us to think about how we are more than people who just believe in Jesus. Christians are people who believe Jesus. We believe the word of Jesus. We believe the promises of Jesus. We trust him, not just as a concept, not just as an idea. I believe in the right to a fair go. I believe in the concept of all people being created equal. There's lots of things I believe in. They're good concepts and ideas that I take hold of. Jesus, I want to believe. I want to trust his promises. And that, all the way through Matthew's gospel, and this is where we're going to come to in just a minute, we see that Matthew wants us to see that Jesus is God's promise keeper, because Matthew, more than any of the other gospel writers, emphasized how Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promises. If you did a little Bible word search and you say, as it is written, because there's lots of times when Matthew will say, as it was written, as it is written, Jesus did that, Jesus said this, or this was to fulfill what was written, 20 times Matthew explicitly points out to us, this was to fulfill, as it is written. 20 times, and a whole bunch more that he implies that. And friends, we've just celebrated Christmas, so here's a good question for us with Christmas in mind. I want you to think about, what are some of the key things that we know about Christmas from the Bible? So we've got to delete Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and little elves. I watched some of the Christmas movies. The Grinch is great fun. That's all fine. But what do we know about Christmas from the Bible? Can anyone, young or old, stick their hands up? Lizzie, if you were thinking, what do we know about Christmas from the Bible? What's something that comes to mind? Josh, have you got something for us? What's something that comes to mind? Who's a character or a story? We've got a manger, haven't we? We're told that Jesus was laid in a feeding trough. There wasn't even a bed for him. He was laid in a feeding trough, a manger. Anything else that comes to mind? Who's flying around with big white wings and sparkly lights and... who can we think of at Christmas time? Angels. There are angels at Christmas time, aren't there? Wonderful messengers from God. Is there anything else that comes to mind? There's singing. Yes, there's singing. What else is important about the Christmas story? There are sheep. There's a baby. There's a donkey. No, there's not, actually. There's not a donkey. Shepherds. The first people to be told that Jesus, God's mighty king, had come was a bunch of shepherds with their sheep. The reason I want us to think all of this through is because when Matthew tells us the Christmas story, he's not just giving us little stories about a manger or about angels or about shepherds and sheep. Matthew wants us to see that Jesus is God's promise keeper. And it really matters. Jesus is the one that God promised. Jesus is God's promise keeper. So when he makes a promise, we can trust his promise. And Jesus is God's promise. So when he makes a promise, we trust his promise. It's going to change our life. So we've got a little song. This is a little song with some fun actions. And I hope that this is one of those annoying songs that gets in our head. All right, it's going to get in our heads. I would encourage you to stand because it's good to get the blood pumping. It's very short and the actions are very simple. I wonder whether, can you help me do pinky promises, Siobhan? Do you mind coming up and helping me do some pinky promises? So this song, we can put the words on the screen because they're pretty simple. Thanks, Cherubim. This is saying, promises, promises, God keeps his promises. So do you do little pinky promises sometimes? Yeah. So little pinky promises. We're going to remember, promises, promises, God keeps his promises that he has made in his book. All right? And then we've got some more promises. Promises. To know God's promises, we open the Bible and look. Great work. Thank you. Well, feel free to take a seat. Except now, as we take a seat, we're going to move around because we're getting to the point where we've got our little tables, and there's an opportunity. We want the, if there are kids amongst us, to be the chief sticker honorers. They get to handle the glue stick with whatever supervision may be required. I said, if you're visiting with us, this is certainly a little out of the ordinary for us. We'd love you to feel welcome to participate as much or as little as you are comfortable with. What we've got here on the tables around us is the Christmas story according to Matthew that we've spent a couple of weeks in, and many of us might have reflected on over Christmas Day. We're not going to read it all together, but what I want you to do is spend a bit of time, because I have deliberately extracted for us and put on pretty coloured paper the promises that Jesus fulfills. And I'm going to tell you now why we're doing all of this, so that as we do it, you kind of see the point. We read the Christmas story and we go, beautiful manger. Oh, wise man, how cool is that? Star in the sky, wow. Matthew wants us to read the Christmas story and go, oh, promise keeper. Oh, promise keeper. Ah, oh, yeah, promise keeper. Okay, so you're going to need to move. I'd love you to cluster around the table. Feel free to pull the table towards you if that's helpful. Gather around a table. There's a number of them. There's a free one up here. Jane needs some company on it. What you're going to do is work out where each of these promises needs to fill the gap, and you're going to glue that down. And the texters are there so that if anyone young or old wants to beautify the page, decorate it with Christmas imagery, feel free to. We're going to spend a few minutes on this, guys. All right, friends, I know not everyone has had the chance to finish that exercise, but you're welcome to keep sort of reading away and pottering over it. There's no issue with a little bit of a background murmur of conversation. But I am mindful for some of our little ones in particular. It's a bit of a tricky stretch. Let me grab a piece of paper, because I told you at the outset what the point of this exercise was, and it's very simple. Because when Matthew tells us that this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about, and he tells us about Jesus' name, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins, and all of this takes place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet, he's not just giving us an interesting story about Mary and Joseph and angels. He's not just giving us a brief anecdote about his name. Matthew is helping us to see that Jesus is God's promise keeper to be the one who comes as the Son of God. Matthew is helping us to see that God's promise keeper, that Jesus is the one who is the Son of Man, that fully human and yet fully God, coming to be with us. It's much more than just an interesting Christmas story about angels and Mary and Joseph. It's showing us that Jesus is God's promise keeper. And so then too, when we have this story about the wise men coming from the east and they go to Herod and the scriptures are open to work out where's the Messiah. This isn't just giving us kind of a setting the scene for how these wise men come to find Jesus where he is. It's not even just telling us sort of the backstory so that on Christmas morning we can sing, O little town of Bethlehem. Wasn't just for the sake of a Christmas carol. It was so that we would see that God has sent his promise keeper, just as the prophet has written that it would be in Bethlehem that would come a ruler. And even that's not just, oh, isn't that interesting? Like, I was born in Darwin. Where were you born, Mike?
Peterborough.
Roshni, where were you born? India. Like, it's not just, oh, isn't it interesting to know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem? No. It's because Jesus is God's promise keeper, that for those who have read his scriptures, they'll know Bethlehem, that's not just where someone interesting is born. That's where the mighty king comes from. And so then we read this story about the need to escape to Egypt because Herod is just so controlling of his power that he won't even deal with the idea of there being another king. And so Joseph and Mary take Jesus to Egypt. It's not just telling us a story about God protecting Jesus from bad people trying to get him, although it clearly is that. But when Matthew takes us to the Old Testament scriptures that the prophet anticipated, that out of Egypt I called my son, Matthew's helping us to see, this is the one who comes to represent God's people. God's people came out of Egypt. They were taken into Egypt, and then from Egypt, God called them. Where did he call them to? Home. He called them home, and he treated them as his children. He called Israel, the people of God, his son, one whom he loves, in whom his great delight is, and he called them home. And Matthew's saying, yeah, Jesus is God's promise keeper. He's the one who comes as the representative of God's people. And so if you want to be in God's people, you need to be with Jesus. And then we've got this really tragic story of Herod in his great anger, Herod, in his great anger, actually deciding, well, if I can't find Jesus, I'm just going to deal with all of the little babies. And we skip over that story in our nativity scene because it's a little bit too confronting. But actually, this is us seeing what Jeremiah had anticipated. When Jeremiah wrote, God's people were off in exile. And he pictured their great-great-great-great-grandmother, Rachel, weeping because the people had been taken away from home. And yet Jesus comes to fulfill those tears, which is to say, to see the end that those tears were longing for, that God's people would be brought home from exile, from their punishment for sin. Jesus is God's promise keeper. And so the prophet Jeremiah looked forward to a time when those tears of great-great-grandmother Rachel would actually be turned to joy. They would be fulfilled. They would be brought to an end, and joy would replace them because this little baby, Jesus, is the one who brings God's people home from their sin. And then we finished up with this obscure little saying down at the bottom, so was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he would be called a Nazarene. Except if you go and do a word search on that, no prophet anywhere in the Old Testament said that he would be called a Nazarene, or that he would come from Nazareth, or grow up in Nazareth. But if I put it this way for you, having been warned in a dream, Joseph withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he would be called a hillbilly. He will be called a country hick. He will be called a nobody from nowhere. Because that's what it meant in the time to be called a Nazarene. You bumpkin. You nothing. You nobody that I'll look down my nose on from cultured Jerusalem or Rome or Athens. And Matthew wants us to see that Jesus is God's promise keeper. That he is the servant who will be despised and rejected, that people will look down their nose upon and frown upon and think, gosh, he's nobody. This Christmas story is not just interesting information about Jesus. It's beautiful on a Christmas card and it's lovely to sing about in our carols, but it's all about Jesus as God's promise keeper. So we're going to sing a song, then we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer as we reflect on what it means to celebrate God's promises to us, to be thankful for the year that we've had, to be looking forward to the year to come. We're going to sing a song called Jesus is the King. It's a good one for the kids because it helps us pick up on really vivid images of Jesus, who is the King, who says, come and follow me. He gives us his promise, he gives us his word, and it changes our life. But if it's good for the kids because it's simple and it's concrete and it's clear, it's probably good for us all, isn't it? So thanks for leading us, guys. Jesus is the King. Let's stand on our feet and sing it together.